Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Coming your way in 30 minutes, we've got Washington Commanders defensive end James Smith Williams. In 45 minutes, Tom Brady does not seem particularly enthused these days, especially after a pair of home losses to the Packers and the Chiefs. We'll talk Brady and the Bucks coming up here later on in the hour as well. Last night, Niners and Rams. Advantage Niners as per usual. Kyle Shanahan has owned Sean McVay in the regular season. Seven straight in the regular season. Niners over the Rams. But, of course, the big one was last year in the NFC Championship game. Rams' offensive line was brutal. Niners' pass rush was awesome. Big play from Deebo Samuel. And Garoppolo did enough. And what you see is this Rams team looks very pedestrian. Their wins against, I think, average teams, and their losses against the good teams, the Bills and the Niners last night. More on that coming up. 1 hour from now, we'll do a deep dive into the 49ers and what their potential is. But I want to talk about Tua because I spent a lot of time on Friday talking about Tua, and we need to continue to discuss this because it's a big deal. Now, on Friday, I had said, boy, it was so ugly seeing Tua the week prior against the Bills bounce his head off the turf, get up seemingly very wobbly, and coming back into the game was curious, but then seeing him hit his head of the turf and clearly have a concussion with his hands going into the fencing position, as they call it, was terrifying last Thursday night. And through it all, the Dolphins maintained that they had followed the doctor's orders, that they had followed medical protocol, that he was cleared by the medical team, no funny business, they didn't pressure anything, anybody, and that Mike McDaniel would never take that risk, and that Tua had passed all the concussion protocols, and it was a back injury, it was not a concussion, and that McDaniel had doubled down, saying he had elongated conversations with Tua leading up to that game. Every day he passed concussion protocol tests. He did not seem out of it, woozy, memory wasn't fading, anything like that. But now, the NFLPA's investigation has been turbocharged, and over the weekend, the independent neurologist employed in that game against the Bills, this is the first one, and let him back into the game in the second half, he had been fired.
So where do we stand now? And on Friday, I told you, look, I know it looked bad. It looked bad to every one of us. It made all of us sick to our stomach seeing it happen again. But all we were going on was a 3-second clip of him stumbling, and we're not doctors. We're not neurologists. And so I tend to defer to the ones that are employed and have spent their life doing this. There's a lot on the line for these guys. For these neurologists, for these doctors, they have to be cleared by state regulations, state standards. Obviously, there's licenses involved. I mean, on top of potential litigation, lawsuits, the league itself, bad PR, your private practices, your private jobs. I mean, there's so much on the line for these neurologists that I said, I know what I saw didn't look good, but I can't say with any certainty that I know what happened because I'm just going on 3 seconds of a video clip where he stumbled. And to be transparent, after that neurologist got fired, I have to do a mea culpa. Because if that doctor, and we don't have the identity of the doctor yet, did perform a series of mistakes, which is what the NFLPA is saying, that I was wrong. That I was wrong to say, trust the neurologist, because the neurologist potentially could have made tons of mistakes. So I will admit that I was wrong. I had the wrong read on this, if that indeed happens to be the case. What makes this sticky, though, is that the NFL didn't also conclude the same thing yet. We don't have the reasons why, clearly, yet he was terminated. We don't know what the mistakes were, and we don't know the tests that were employed. What we now have is more information about how the protocol goes, and it does seem like the protocol needs strengthening. That this independent neurologist is not team affiliated, so apparently they shouldn't have any dog in the fight. They shouldn't care who gets cleared or who doesn't, who can play, who doesn't, whose team is less competitive, whose is not. They should just be doing what is right by the player, the athlete. That's what we all assume because they're independent. However, we find out that the final call is not the neurologist's. The final call is still the team doctor. The neurologist is there to advise but does not make the final call. That's not something I knew. That's a problem. I was under the suspicion, the understanding, the assumption that the neurologist was the one that makes the call. He can go and he can't. The neurologist performs a series of tests. But where it's getting hung up right now is it up to the neurologist to simply go through the test and check what tests he's passing? Or is it also up to him to say, and I also believe even though he tests okay, he cannot go back in there because of the gross motor instability, which was, in this case, looking woozy. That he could test well and pass the tests, but that still the neurologist can say, but I don't trust it because I saw him stumble. Because when he got up to his feet, he did not look right. And now that's where the interpretation of the role is getting very murky. And who is utilizing that and who is not utilizing that? And that's the problem here, is that what it feels like, and again, we'll have more information hopefully shortly, so I'm still talking about this as information unfolds, but what I think happened was that the Dolphins followed the letter of the law. Tua goes to the sideline. Tua gets consulted by a neurologist, and Tua has to pass concussion tests. And the neurologist then hands this worksheet over and says he passed. And the Dolphins go, well, if he passed, he can go back in. And there's no observation or judgment of, yeah, but is this the right thing? Letter of the law, Neurologist said he passed so he can go back in. And then you have him go through the series of tests that week as well. He is passing those tests. And the Dolphins say, well, if he's cleared, then what are we going to do? And Mike McDaniel had, I thought, a very interesting defense. And I thought it was reasonable. He said, if the doctors tell me one thing and I ignore them and do the other, in this case, it would have been, let's sit to it anyway. Then what about the flip side? If the doctors say he can't go and I go, I'm putting him in anyway. That if you have doctors giving you advice, you have to follow the advice. How can I be the last line of defense? Now, in this case, you might say, yeah, but it's looking out for Tua. But what Mike McDaniel is saying is, well, then why have doctors at all if they give you advice, but then you make the final call on it? And I thought that was reasonable. I actually believe Mike McDaniel has the best interest at heart of his players. I think he's a young guy connected with the modern athlete that does not look at one game in September and say, this is a win-at-all-cost game, rub some dirt on it, go back out there. I think he was overly trusting of a medical team that what we find out isn't necessarily independent, and that ultimately the process or the structure failed Tua. Because while Tua apparently did pass all of the tests, that there still needs to just be the common sense lookout for the player. He got up wobbly. He says it's a back. He passed all the tests, but you know what? We got to be safe rather than sorry. And the medical staff, whether it's the neurologist or the team doctors or the organization as a whole coming together, has to do the right thing, which is protect the player. Tua can say, I want to go play. Tua can say it's a back injury. Tua can pass his tests. But in this case, ultimately the Dolphins and the neurologist and the league probably needed to do more and probably needed to err on the side of safety rather than, hey, technically you passed everything, so what do you want us to do? This got gunked up, but it's good, not for Tua's health, but it's good that it's being exposed because there's a broken chain of command here. And even though I think the league wants to do the right thing, primarily because of money, do I think that it's altruistic, that they just want to save players' health? Not really. A little bit. I mean, I don't think they're terrible human beings that want to see guys live in carnage of their brain, but I think litigation. You know, they've gone through CTE settlements. They've had a movie made about them. You know, they don't want the specter of, we knew these guys were getting dinged up and we didn't care and now we're on the hook for billions of dollars in lawsuits. They don't want that. So I do think there's a structure in place and the NFL is trying to be much more careful about this. What it appears, though, is that it still wasn't tight enough. It wasn't tight enough. It still needs to be far tighter. And in the flow of a game, supercharged emotion, hyper intense, clock is ticking, this score, that play, you know, making decisions on guys' brain injuries in the middle of this maelstrom is not the right idea. What the Dolphins and the league should have done, and the neurologist, is safe rather than sorry. Even though Tua has passed the exams, he can't go back in there. We will reevaluate next week. Tua should have never come back in for that Buffalo game. And that's where the safety of Tua should have started. He could have passed the tests. He could have said it's a back injury. He could have said, I want to go back out there, and looked fine. And that's where they've got to say, yeah, but safe rather than sorry. You stumbled. I didn't like the look of that. Your head hit the turf. That's inarguable. And we've got to keep you out until further notice. No decisions made in the heat of the moment right now. But I will also say this. I think the NFLPA wanted a symbolic gesture immediately after the Tua thing because they saw how bad it looked. and firing that neurologist, we'll see what the mistakes were. The NFLPA sources, there's no official report yet, the sources have leaked that there was a series of mistakes. And, you know, what that does is it tosses the red meat to the masses. I mean, on Friday, the world was convulsing over this. You know, we move on to Tuesday, nobody's talking about Tua Tagovailoa anymore, you know? It's like, well, he won't play next week. But it's not the top story in Good Morning America today. That in that moment, it was everybody needed some type of penalty or punishment or head to roll. I mean, again, Chris Nowinski is done a great, great work creating all types of information and shedding light on CTE and brain trauma. He's got a PhD, neuroscientist. But, I mean, the guy was calling for murder charges for Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins. Like, that's how hot last Thursday night and Friday morning were. If Tua dies, I'm looking for murder charges. It just so happens Nowinski deleted that tweet. It was too hot. It's too crazy of a take. Anyway, they got the guy fired. They then had that in headline, NFLPA fires neurologist. And so, you know, they got that. We do need to see more specifics about it. But what's important is not letting this thing just die in the vine. Like, oh, Tua's not going to play this Sunday. It's more about the process. Is the process right? Will this happen again? Why was this process broken? And it's going to go one of two ways. Either the NFL is going to be transparent about this, the report's going to come out, we're going to understand why the tests failed if they did, and what needs to change, because the NFL is going to want to be transparent. It'll help them from a PR standpoint, or they're going to quietly dismiss this and push this out of the way, and we don't really get much clarity on it. We'll see how the NFL plays it. When we come back here on the show, James Smith Williams, Commanders defensive end. Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm a romantic, big, sappy teddy bear, but I'll still punch you in the face with no questions asked.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, Ross Tucker.
Take a crap sandwich and turn it into an ice cream cone.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The Da! Available to watch at watchda.com. Also on the simulcast at Twitch and on YouTube. And let me just give a big shout out to the Diaper D'Aliens. EJ and Kevin Wall have done such a good job of the simulcast with Cap out. Cap's been out for 3 weeks now for paternity leave. Little Zoe Kaplan was born, and
beautiful, bouncing baby girl. And this is the final week without Cap. So Cap returns on Monday. And we expect him to be carrying Zoe like the Lion King, skating around the ice with Simply the Best playing.
Simply the Best. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. He's been
better
out
than all the rest.
He's been out so long, the baby's had a name change already.
Really?
Yeah, they dropped the Y. She was introduced as Z-O-E-Y, and in the last thread, there's no more Y. He said, yeah, we dropped the Y.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Wowie.
Yeah.
That is a wowie.
You have to go back for the birth certificate?
I don't know how that works. But yeah, in one of our threads, somebody asked how she was doing, and you asked him if he's been following something about the show, and he wrote just Zay. Somebody asked how Zoe. He's like, and she's fine. We dropped the Y. It's just Z-O-E now.
Wowie. Mm-hmm. Wowie, wowie.
That deserves a wowie.
Now, we don't know if Cap comes back with long hair, short hair, fat, skinny. Like, he could look like anything.
And a new life announcement, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Who knows?
Yeah, anything could happen. He won Powerball.
We still don't know if he's married or not. Maybe that happened while he's gone.
No idea. But Cap, the man of mystery, the doctor of Watch DA, the wizard of the simulcast, returns on Monday. And EJ and Kevin Wall have done really, really good work. We have taken our swings with our hatchets at some newsroom behavior around here, maybe some updates as well. But the guys that have done the simulcast have been just spectacular. They've been easy to work with. They've been competent. They've been timely. They've great attitude. Both those guys can work at the show anytime. Really, really appreciate how they've stepped in for Cap.
And I was going to say, there is a belief building in the room, or the building, that part of the reason for our newsroom disaster is losing those two in the newsroom to replace Cap.
Fair.
That Cap, you know, a trickle-down effect. Mm-hmm. The bench got so thin without those two as valuable assets.
Mm-hmm.
I found the thread. Dia, you asked Cap if he had been following the Kurt Herbstreit saga. And then Sean said, how's Zoe with a Y? And he wrote back, Z-O-E period. We decided to drop the Y. Which I didn't think you could do, but they did it.
Total Cap. You're sampling. He comes back in with his laptop. Josh's Cap for the crowd. I'm back, everybody.
I'm going to have a tear in my eye the first time he tightens the camera tripod again and looks at me. He's got like the perfect. It's like that wink when you see DiMaggio come back in the lineup.
Is he returning for his one-day retirement as a DA show simulcast?
Looking back.
That's where my career started. Just wanted to come back to where it all began.
It's like when the Yankees retire all the numbers and bring back trainer Gene Monahan. You just kind of wave to the ref.
Bogues has headlines.
DA, the Rams were bad in Santa Clara on Monday Night Football, but still had the ball mid-fourth quarter with a chance to tie the 49ers.
Two receivers left and two right. He gets the shotgun snap. He's got time. He throws a pass. It's picked off. Hufanga at the 50. Sideline 40. Foot race 30. Sideline 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. It's a pick six of Stafford. San Francisco has scored.
God, Harlan's great.
To clinch a 24-9 victory, that is Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. That pick six came on top of seven sacks of Matthew Stafford. Nick Bosa had two of them and has high expectations for this defense.
I think it's best in the league. That's kind of our mindset every year, and this year we have the personnel to do it. Not that we haven't in the past, but just all three levels is elite. Players.
Stafford was pressured 17 times last night. This is the first time his Rams offense did not score a touchdown, settling for three field goals and three red zone possessions. And for the first time in 15 years, the Rams did not have a play over 20 yards. So now they are 2-2. The Colts have already ruled out linebacker Shaq Leonard for Thursday in Denver because of Sunday's concussion. And the Broncos have officially lost running back Javonte Williams for the season to a torn ACL. Pass rusher Randy Gregory needs knee surgery and will miss multiple games. Falcons running back Cordarrelle Patterson had left knee surgery yesterday. He's now on IR but will or should return this season. Baseball's two longest playoff droughts are now over. First, it was the Mariners. Last night, the Phillies punched their first ticket since 2011.
This was surprising that they've been on an 11-year playoff drought.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that.
They clinch it with a 3-0 win in Houston. That makes Rhys Hoskins emotional.
A lot of blood, a lot of sweat, a lot of tears.
In that moment, it
it's a great group, guys. It's a great group. It's a great group. I'm just excited.
Hearing him say a lot of blood makes me think about Mraz looking at his snots.
Well, that was also my editing mistake because I think that was the show bleeding through over Rhys Hoskins being emotional on NBC Sports Philadelphia. I promise you, tears in his eyes as he spoke, had to stop a couple times in the answer because the Phillies are back in the postseason. The Brewers missed the playoffs now for the first time since 2017.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
You know, the odd thing is, Pete, I didn't remember hearing that in the room. And I feel like I would have caught that as I edited that clip. So I'm definitely an idiot.
That is odd.
Yeah. The Braves lose in Miami 4-0 while the Mets rained out. So the NL East was not claimed last night. Atlanta's magic number remains one. And the Blue Jays clinched the AL's top wild card with a 5-1 win in Baltimore. The Mariners and Rays both lost last night. So Seattle stays a game and a half ahead for that second spot. Karl-Anthony Towns reportedly hospitalized last week with a throat infection. The T-Wolves Center was at team headquarters yesterday, confirming he was sick, but the only specific he provided was that he lost roughly 15 pounds. Cavs center Evan Mobley is out 1 to 2 weeks with a sprained ankle that could complicate opening night. And the Nets had Ben Simmons on the floor for the first time last night. 19 minutes, 6 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, and a 127-108 preseason loss to his old friends from Philly. DA, back to you.
Thank you very much, folks. It is a Trash Tuesday, so tweet at me, DA on CBS. Aaron tweets, I'm trashing Brown defensive coordinator Joe Lost in the Woods for being a terrible coach. He will find any way to blow a lead. Hashtag, here we go, Brownies, here we go.
Ooh, ooh. Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
By the way, in terms of bets from this past weekend, the Rams winning last night, sorry, the Niners winning last night meant the Wizard went 2-3. That meant that Gelb went 2-1, and Mraz went 1-2, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I went 2-1 also.
Both of you went 2-1?
I had finished 2-1. He was going for 3-0. Now he's 2-1 as well, so I remain a game up.
Woof, woof.
Mraz is a game up in the standings. The Wizard has realized the error of some of his ways. The Wizard needs to get back to doing some real deep dive research, because what he was doing was he was going on reputation and instinct, and that's never going to get you very far in the betting game.
Some ground and pound scouting. Mm.
Exactly. I got to get back to the film room. You know, I went with Oklahoma thinking they're going to bounce back after getting embarrassed by K-State. They've got a lot of good players there. You know, that's going to be traditionally a really good effort out of them. And what I didn't look at is they're getting crushed on defense, and you know what? They've got no interest in fixing it. So I should have seen that. The Wizard made a mistake there. Also, you know, the Wizard looking at some other reputations like the A&M Aggies. You know, you're getting points with a talented team. You think that they're going to come back and kind of reassert themselves before the Alabama game. They didn't. They were a disaster. So I got to stop going on reputation, and the Wizard's got to really dial in on film work here.
It's the Wizard of Oz.
Well, the Wizard's a big man for admitting and acknowledging the shortcomings and trying his best to fix them. I'll happily report that we're 2 weeks in, and in terms of record keeping and communication, so far so good on the Pat Boyle side picks competition.
Now, what's on the line here? If Boyle beats Gelb, Boyle automatically gets grandfathered into next year's picks competition.
Correct.
However, if he goes perfect for the season, wasn't there something? Or no, that was if Gelb goes 0 for the season.
Yeah, right. But yeah, Boyle is competing from week 3 forward to automatically qualify for next year's pick competition.
And you're the only one that knows.
Correct. And we almost had a catastrophe in week 1. Or last week, almost didn't get me the picks in time.
Ooh.
Said he had it written, didn't hit send.
Oh.
But I remembered, saw the clock, where are the picks. This week, no such issues, had him ahead of time, so we're good to go.
Yes. You made it, pro. You didn't make it, pro.
And so, at the end of the year, after week 18 of the NFL season, only Bogus will know the record of Pat Boyle, and he will deliver it on air in the most dramatic announcement in DA show history to see if he has toppled Zach Gelb for 2023's football competition.
Correct. And I don't remember, did we decide, and Pete can't help because he was not here for this, which is a side bonus.
I heard it in the car while you were berating me.
Did we decide if Boyle beat Sean as well, if there's a prize for that, or is this just Gelb?
Yep.
Okay.
This is not a Boyle versus Mraz competition.
Gotcha.
The 2022 opponent has been said. It is Gelb's gambles. And so, moving forward, though, right now, Gelb trails Mraz by a game in the standings. What is on the line is they both... Loser has to show up to Bob's Bar dressed as Matt Rhule, even though he'll be so far fired by then, but you got to show up in Panthers gear. And then you got to, if you're Gelb, you got to park cars, all the listeners' cars, got to get parked by Matt Rhule.
Chicken finger into a beer.
And if Mraz loses, he's got to get on all fours dressed as Matt Rhule, and we get to pin the tail on the piggy.
Maybe he'll fat shame Mraz.
Okay.
Foxy is trashing Yankee Stadium for not taking cash anymore. It should be illegal for the beer guy coming down during the games to not take cash. Hashtag Booski.
That's just human filth.
Wow, so you can't even use cash. I like that the beer vendors now take cards. That's great. But I didn't realize they're not allowed to take cash.
No, yeah, that was a post-COVID thing. Everything's cashless.
Everybody.
City Field, too.
Cashless.
Cashless. Mm-hmm. You can put, if you have cash, you can put it on a card at City Field. But there is no, the only cash if you want to give the guy a dollar or two tip.
Wow. Art Bobart is trashing his neighbors for using orange-ish bulbs and leaving them on at night. I looked out and my blind ass thought their house was on fire, so I had to go grab my glasses to double check. I love a good little freak out at 2 a.m. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
So frustrating.
Yeah, I don't get these people. You know, you drive by their house, they got orange lights, they got green lights, they got blue lights. What are we doing?
Well, orange, I think, is for Halloween.
Well,
the blue ones I thought were for some kind of...
swinging.
Ooh, you know what I learned?
Those are the two Adirondack chairs.
Oh, okay. So that was the upside-down pineapple.
Yeah, the pineapple. You want to make fun of me. That's a big thing at the Dave Matthews Mexico thing.
Oh!
There's a whole
There's
a whole Facebook group dedicated to open relationships and swinging. You tag a pineapple on the end of a post. You wear a pineapple shirt. Put a pineapple on your door. That means you're down for fun.
Oh, okay.
No idea.
Now we know.
Well, more on that.
Listen, you guys have met me. You know that's not the case.
More on that coming up shortly. But first, we're going to talk Commanders Titans here. As joining us here on the show is defensive lineman of the Commanders. After the Chase Young injury, he has stepped in and done a great job on that defensive line of the Commanders, coming off a sack total of 2.5 sacks last season. NC State standout, James Smith Williams. James, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, my man. Thanks so much. Sorry that your lead-in had to do with swinging and pineapples.
Yeah, I heard that, but I was going to question it.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting morning here on the show. We'll talk football with you. Hey, so this Commanders team, you guys obviously wanted to turn the corner coming into this season, try to become a playoff team. However, after an opening week win over the Jaguars, three consecutive losses. What's the attitude like? What's the mentality like right now in the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, we're all staying really positive still. It's a very early in the season. It's a very young season. We're still hungry and ready to get after it.
So you graduated from NC State, and you played under a pretty hard-nosed coach. We had Dave Doran on the show last week. At NC State, before that loss to Clemson, was ranked number 10 of the country. What was it like to play for Doran? Because he feels like an all-business kind of guy.
He is. I mean, he's definitely a guy that wants to get it done, the things you have to handle, whether it's, you know, academics, lifting, on the field. But at the same time, I mean, he definitely loved us, and he's a very caring guy, and he's a great coach as well.
You were a seventh-round pick from the Wolfpack, and a lot of seventh-rounders don't even make the team rookie season, let alone stick around for year number three. When you were drafted by the Commanders at that point, Washington football team, in the seventh round, did you believe that you would make the team, or were you a little leery of lack of security?
to be, you know, very transparent with you, when they drafted me, I look in that room and you had Ryan Kerrigan, Montez Sweat, Chase Young, and I'm like, okay, like, where do I fit in? But they definitely had a plan for me, and I bought into that plan, and, you know, I'm still buying into it, and it's worked out well.
It is, you know, a great success story if you're a seventh rounder to have any type of career in the NFL. Do you consider yourself beating the odds, or that maybe you were just overlooked going into that draft and you always knew you had NFL potential?
I mean, I always believe in myself, but, you know, I think this is just a very early beginning of my career, and I'm excited for what, you know, what's to come.
James Smith Williams, Washington Commanders defensive lineman, joins us this morning here on the show. There's been so much attention on the quarterback position. Carson Wentz, first year with you guys, some ups and downs. What's been your assessment so far of Wentz's first month with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's a tremendous playmaker, and we're just going to play complimentary football. And, you know, the defense will take care of the offense, and they'll take care of us. And, you know, I think he's a great guy and a great player, and he'll definitely help us win a lot of games.
Feels like Ron Rivera is getting a little testy. He wants to be better than 1-3. What are you sensing from Coach?
We have high expectations. You know, no one's harder on ourselves than we are. So, I mean, he definitely wants to win games, and we want to win games as a team, and we're excited, you know, having an opportunity coming up this Sunday.
You guys faced a really good young quarterback in week number one and were able to beat the Jaguars in Trevor Lawrence. You're a young player as well. Lawrence also played in the ACC like you did. And so what's been your history kind of watching him, and what did you see from him playing against him week number one?
Yeah, actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think Trevor Lawrence's first start was against us my junior year,
okay.
And he threw for like 500 yards, and you know, that was a coming-out party. I had a sack on him, but he definitely had a coming-out party against us, and I mean, he's a tremendous player, tremendous talent, so it was fun to go up against him week one, and, you know, we got the win, and, you know, I think he's a really good player, and he'll have a really good career in this league.
You graduated from NC State in business supply chain management. So Now you got to give us some insight here. What's the most broken part about the supply chain these days and coming out of the pandemic?
Oh, man. You know, I am, let's see, what am I now? I'm 3 years removed from even looking at anything to do with that.
Uh-huh.
But if I would take a shot in the dark, I have to imagine just the lack of people along the way in all areas of the supply chain, whether that's shipping and receiving, you know, transporting, even the warehousing. You know, when you had COVID, everything was remote, and that's a tremendous strain on the supply chain when you need that manpower that you just don't have.
Mm-hmm. James Smith Williams, the Washington Commanders, joins us this morning on the show. So you were an outspoken domestic violence advocate raising awareness for this during Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You have been named an ambassador for this in the NFL. You took this cause from college. You brought it to the professionals, to your professional career, rather. And so why is making sure domestic violence is made aware such an important priority for you and has been for a long time?
Yeah, so, I mean, my first introduction to it was in college. Brenda Tracy came and spoke at NC State. I believe it was my third year there. You know, she tells her whole story, everything she's been through. And at the end, she just says, it was a really simple question, you know, if you're a good man, what are you doing? And for whatever reason, that just really spoke to me. And I still carry that mantra to this day. And that's why I've just kind of championed this cause, because I feel like it's an area of need. And if there's any way I can help out, I'm going to do it.
And so, you know, you've cited that slogan, that sentence a number of times, is why it's been so powerful. If you're a good man, what are you doing? And that was kind of her suggesting, If you really care, if you're a good dude at heart, then you can't just sit there and nod your head. You kind of have to be active about pushing the cause forward and doing good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one thing to not partake. It's a totally different thing to actively make sure no one experiences it. I think those are very different things.
So what can our listeners do for more information this month during Domestic Violence Awareness Month?
Yeah, I mean, a great place to go is, you know, purpleleaseproject.com, STEexpectation.com is another great place to go. And just, I mean, there's shelters all around the country, and, you know, just get involved locally, whether that's dropping off goods, anything like that. You know, I definitely think that's a great thing to do.
Derrick Henry ran for 114 yards and a touchdown on Sunday. You got to try to tackle him this Sunday. How's that going to go?
It's going to go great. I'm excited to play against him. You know, you want to be in the league to play against the best players, and he's definitely one of them.
Okay, so he's going to come around the edge. It's just going to be you and him. You're going to size him up. And what's the technique on trying to tackle a guy that size?
Yeah, we're about the same size. My plan is to hit him harder than he hits me, and we'll go from there.
That's a good attitude. I like it. Joining us this morning on the show, Commanders defensive end James Smith-Williams. James, thanks so much. Good luck this Sunday.
Of course. Thank you.
You got it. That's funny. Derrick Henry's as big as the starting defensive end of the Commanders. Hit him harder than he hits me. Okay. When we come back here on the DA show, Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is Brady pushing the envelope one season too long? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I was very known on Long Island for being the first one to put bacon on the chicken teriyaki.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Legendary status. 48 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
The Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD veterans and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about the 49ers last night? Last night limited the Super Bowl champion Rams to just 3 field goals, 24-9 win. Dre Greenlaw, 12 tackles. Also, there was a pick 6 by the Niners as well, as the Niners dominate the defending Super Bowl champs. We'll talk more about that coming up at the top of the hour. Sunday morning football comes your way each and every weekend, beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Pacific. We break down college football Saturday and preview NFL Sunday on many of these same CBS Sports radio stations, as well as the CBS Sports app, the free Odyssey app on your smart speaker. Just tell it to play CBS Sports Radio, or on Sirius XM, channel 158. I've always wondered whether Tom Brady was pushing it too far. That he had walked away relatively unscathed from all of these championship seasons, all of these Super Bowl runs. He had played better for longer than anybody else. He was named the GOAT, the greatest of all time, quarterback-wise, a long time ago. Probably you could go back to the comeback against the Falcons, which gave him his 5th Super Bowl ring, giving him one more than Joe Montana. At that point in time, he could likely have walked away and had every accolade and the honor of being the greatest of all time and been completely healthy. And that was 8 years ago. He then won another in 2018, wrapped up his Patriots career, then cemented it certainly with a Super Bowl championship in his first year with Tampa Bay. Then at the end of last year, did retire. And for a number of years, I've always wondered, is he going to push it too far? Because Brady has had the opportunity for a healthy and heroic exit for years now. And he keeps ignoring it. Now, it's not up to me to tell him what he loves to do, what he should do or shouldn't do with his life, but I've always wondered, there's very few happy endings in sports. Very rarely do you ever walk away and everything is neat and tidy and happy. The happy ending is rare. Ask Robert Kraft.
I knew you were going there. Just said it to Bellotti before he said it.
It was beautiful.
That was my hot read. You and I have been working together long enough.
That's what I was laughing at.
No look pass.
She's a bad girl, David.
I can't believe you just said that. I just said it to Pete.
You can't believe that I did something you knew I was going
to
do?
Yeah, well, because you said this very rarely. How he turned to Pete, I go, Robert Kraft, and then
so we are at the point now with this season where a couple of things are happening. Number one, clearly, personally, something's going on with Giselle. Giselle hasn't been present at games. The kids have been. AB is taunting Tom Brady with pictures of him and Giselle. Giselle's doing interviews about wanting Tom to be home. Clearly, something is amiss. He's leaving for 8 days in the middle of training camp or 11 days or whatever. He's taking Wednesdays off. Something is going on there that's uncomfortable. And add to it that this offense has at times looked really rough. Didn't look good to open things up against the Cowboys. Kind of snuck past the Saints. Put up only 12 points against the Packers. And that took that late touchdown just to do it. And then the two-point conversion attempt. This past week got pounded by the Chiefs. They've lost back-to-back home games. They're 2-2. And the offensive line is not good enough in front of Brady. The defense isn't as dynamic as it once was. He's got injured players. Gronk's not coming back at the moment. And Brady's doing all of this in this snow globe of his personal life. And who knows? There's a lot of football left. Would it shock me if he gets the ultimate happy ending? And early February, we're talking about Tom Brady riding off into the sunset after yet another Super Bowl championship. It would not be shocking that if the Buccaneers kind of put it together in December and then he goes on a run and classic Tom Brady comes out and Godwin's healthy and Evans is healthy and Fournette's running the football and Gronk came out of retirement and suddenly the Buccaneers end up getting back to a Super Bowl and it's ring number 8 for Brady, it would not be shocking. But the other possibility here is that Brady, with Todd Bowles as his head coach and a limited number of weapons at his disposal and a shaky offensive line due to retirement and injuries and a defense that's good, maybe not great, Brady with his career nearing the end and his marriage kind of on the rocks becomes a little bit of a, like, you know what, Tom, you gotta leave. This is getting sad. This is getting depressing. This is not good. It's early. It's only early October. But I got to tell you, there's a sense when you hear Brady speak of this exasperation and this, like, let's get to the finish line. And that's not a happy ending.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.